We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, so, you know, call me an old school guy, you know, call me a curmudgeon, call me anti-player, but I'm not anti-player. I'm pro-college football, and I'm not a fan of what's become of the transfer portal and how this continues to work, and I'm obviously not the only one to feel this way. Brent Beard, First Coast News, also Lindy Sports Magazine contributor, you know, says that players think differently now. Players are adverse to adversity. And used to be they wouldn't consider leaving a team during a losing streak. But today, players transfer from year to year so they can play for a title or pad their stats. It's commonplace to leave for greener pastures. It's been a gradual mind shift in society overall during the past few decades. And I've seen that as a former high school teacher in Houston, Texas. Football coaches I've spoken to have seen kids quit left and right. What has become our adversity to adversity? Josh Pate is somebody that I have I've grown a tremendous amount of respect for. My father actually turned me on to what he was doing on YouTube. Was just very recently a news anchor in Columbus, Georgia, and a producer of a great college football podcast videocast on YouTube about all the biggest games. And most recently, congratulations are in order because today he has been named a national 24/7 sports digital college football content creator. Josh Pate joins us right now. Josh, first time caller, long time listener. Great to have you on the show, man. Congratulations in order to you indeed, sir.
Man, I appreciate it, Mark. And I appreciate you, by the way, because I just moved to Nashville. And so, as you can imagine, this time of day, I'm sitting in bumper to bumper traffic trying to get back downtown where I was dumb enough to buy an apartment. And I've been listening to your show for like 30 minutes now. You made me hungry talking about your chicken noodle soup that you couldn't have. But then you made me really sad, and I almost shed a tear or two about how you didn't have anyone to make a chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
So I've been through an entire gamut of emotion listening to you.
Thank you very much for tuning in, Josh. I do appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, you're the only one that feels sorry for him about
and,
that.
And Josh and Lonzo, either one of you can make me chicken noodle soup whenever you'd like, and I will graciously accept. So my take on the transfer portal, Josh, where do you come in on this and kind of the societal tie-ins to this as well with kids kind of running away now at the first sign of adversity?
Well, first off, I heard what Brent was saying, and listen, everything he's saying is true. This is no mystery. You don't even need to be a sports fan to see this happening in society, and so sports is just a reflection of it. But at the same time, it is happening, okay? So you're not going to plug that dam because there are like 14 holes in the dam. You got 10 fingers. So society's headed the way it is, and athletes just happen to be really good at playing sports, but they're also part of that society. Where I focus on it is not can we turn it around, because that's a losing effort. What I focus on is the fact that not every kid's the same. Never have been, never will be. So just because there may be a greater quantity of those who want to cut a corner or maybe take an easier route, not all necessarily their fault. They're a lot the product of the environment that they've been raised in, and you made good points on that before I came on. But here's what I focus on. See, I'm around high school players a whole lot, and I know that some of them are still wired the right way, and there are enough of them out there still wired the right way to where you can build a championship caliber roster with them. Now, here's the big question. The big question is every one of these programs, every one of these major head coaches and these monster recruiting staffs, they all have their measurables. They all have their critical factors that they look for when they assign their own personal ratings on players. What I've heard more and more, especially really just over the past 3 or 4 years, this is still a new concept, is a lot of these recruiting departments, up to and including the head coaches, have started to reevaluate how they do their character assignations. And it's not just anymore going to a guidance counselor and saying, has he ever been in trouble? No. Okay. What kind of attendance does he have? Does he make half decent grades? All right, check the character box. Now they want to know about that whole adversity deal. They want to know about what he's been through in life. They want to know, did he ever quit youth sports before?
Mm-hmm.
They want to know in the classroom, you know, when things go a little tough, how does he respond? and that stuff, where the character sort of rating used to just be surface based, you know, has he stayed out of trouble? Now the character based rating for these coaching staffs and internally in these programs revolves a lot more around what you've been talking about. And in my world, that's what I deal with. And so in my world, that's what fascinates me the most.
Josh Pate joining us, new, brand new national college sports content creator for 24/7 Sports. Josh, rewinding a couple of weeks to the national championship game, did you see what you expected to see in that game?
I saw exactly what I expected to see, and that's in terms of final score. Now, what I think was really kind of fascinating at the beginning is, well, let me go to the end and I'll work my way back to the beginning. So at the end of the game and moving forward, the whole narrative and talking point coming out of there for most people was, man, LSU really owned that game, which they did. But the thing about it is, had you turned it off midway through the second quarter, where you watched almost half of the game, you wouldn't have thought that way at all.
Sure.
And so you watched Clemson really get out to an early lead. You watched them at times make LSU look so thoroughly confused defensively. And what Clemson's able to do really, really well, I've seen them do it in multiple high-profile games now, is despite the fact that the competition level in the regular season may not be up to par with what, let's say, LSU faced in the regular season, it never hinders them from being able to put someone on their heels early, with the only exception being this year's semifinal game against Ohio State. And they were able to answer there. Well, you juxtapose that to the title game, and they do to LSU largely what Ohio State was able to do to them early. But, man, once LSU caught a rhythm and once they figured out some things, I know some different looks, talking to some of their staffers that Clemson was giving them and Brent Venables was giving them, sort of threw them for a loop, and that's to be expected. I mean, Venables is one of the best in the business. But once they clicked, Clemson wasn't stopping them, and that's no knock on Clemson because no one in America was stopping them this year. Now, you were talking about looking forward with LSU earlier, and boy, what a chore that is, because here's the whole question to me surrounding them. Yes, you could focus on Burrow leaving, and that's a massive hole to fill. That may be the best quarterback we've ever seen in college football. If not, you could certainly make the argument.
Indeed.
You talk about all the juniors. Yeah, you could talk about the juniors leaving, and that's a huge deal. Don't think for a second with what I'm about to say I'm discounting any of this. But they are recruiting at a very, very high level, and they've expanded their reach nationally in a way that, quite honestly, I didn't think they were going to be capable of a couple of years ago. And if you ever lock down the state of Louisiana, to be honest with you, you don't need to do that, but they have done it. So winning has largely locked up their in-state kids. They've expanded their brand nationally. And so everyone's going to look at that, and everyone's going to think, okay, we're losing a lot of guys, but hey, Alabama does every year, and they've gotten to that reload instead of rebuild phase. Well, that's not the only key to winning. The key to winning, and LSU is about to find this out, when Nick Saban first got to Alabama, he inherited a lot of dudes and recruited his first couple of classes, and all of those kids, I was around that program, very close to it. I remember vividly the attitude was of a what can I do for Alabama sort of mentality. And then, and I've heard Saban talk about it, and I've heard other coaches who have won championships talk about it. Once you win one, all of a sudden recruiting sees an uptick, and you get a lot more kids in there, and your recruiting ranking skyrockets, and you think it's only going to be onward and upward from there. Problem sometimes is, your locker room is then full of a bunch of kids, or maybe just a critical few kids who came in with a what can Alabama do for me mentality. So now LSU gets to deal with that same, I call them the consequences of success.
Yeah.
And one of the consequences of success is all of a sudden you win, and a lot of kids want to come to your school that previously from D.C. and L.A., they wouldn't have given you the time of day earlier, and now they want to come. And you get them on campus, and you just assume you're getting everything best of best out of them. But sometimes those kids are on campus with a what can you do for me mentality, which I think bleeds back into the first question you asked me about sort of society and how things have changed.
Yeah, the WIFM channel, what's in it for me, right? WIFM.
Right.
It's a popular channel today to listen to among some kids in college football. In your opinion, Josh, what does the next chapter of Clemson football look like here moving forward? We've had some people in our area believe that the Clemson train is slowing to a stop here over the next period of years. How do you see it?
Slowing to a stop, I think, would be about as good a reach as any Stretch Armstrong doll I ever owned growing up. But I would say this. I would say that I remember being out in Santa Clara about this time last year, and they just thrashed Alabama 44-16. And you watch a true freshman quarterback do it, and you watch a team that was a point spread underdog do it in dominant fashion. And I remember sort of the same way we were just talking about LSU. I remember coming out of that, and I got a bunch of Clemson buddies down in Columbus, Georgia, where I'm from. And so I get back home, and, you know, my group text with them consists of a lot of people saying, we just beat Alabama by 4 touchdowns with a true freshman. We still got this kid 2 more years. Recruiting's not slowing down. This coaching staff seems to hardly ever go anywhere or ever break up in any manner. So, like I said with LSU, the assumption was going to be onward and upward. And a lot of times, people don't stop to realize that I don't care how old Trevor Lawrence was as a true freshman, you're never playing a better game than that. And you're never getting a better result than that. I don't care if he stayed at Clemson 15 more years. You're never getting a better result than what they got against Alabama. And so now we move forward. And every year further into a dominant run you are is every year further into the offseason, everyone placing their focus on you. That doesn't always mean they're going to beat you, but it does mean any kind of little tiny hairline crack you have in your dam, when everyone collectively applies the water pressure of their attention to that dam, they're going to expose your cracks. So the first question is, what are Clemson's cracks? And I don't know that there are a whole lot, to be honest with you. But the second question is, did the expectation level probably get ramped up a little too high after what I would call somewhat of an anomalous outcome against Alabama last year? Not anomalous in the sense that they won, but in how dominant they won, to where I know the folks around me that are Clemson fans, every one of them to a T expected, okay, well, we got 2 more championships with Lawrence, and then he leaves. And, I mean, we're looking good for some DJ kid out on the West Coast, right, who has since obviously committed and enrolled, and they still didn't really want to venture to try and pronounce his last name. And it's just, this sport is never that easy. This sport does not consist with the payrolls and the salaries and the recruiting and the competition the way it is. This sport does not lie down and let you kick it for very long. That's why people look at Alabama and get a false impression that, well, if they did it, we can do it. Yeah, technically that is true. But it's also equally as true that you're watching such an unprecedented run of dominance in the history of this sport that's happened in Tuscaloosa that I wouldn't think that would ever happen again. Just like I don't think the LSU season that we just saw would ever happen again. It's not that easy. And when someone makes it look that easy, it's an illusion. It's never that easy. And the more attention that's on you, the harder it is. You get a different, the consequences of success. When you get to the mountaintop, the formula you use to climb it, you throw it away, because there's an entirely new formula to stay at the top than there is to climb.
Josh, I like to see good things happen to talented people that are good people that work really hard. I've seen where you've been. I look forward to seeing where you're going. I think you're one of the very best at what you do. Thank you for providing show prep for me on some of these games, unbeknownst to you. And I can't wait to see your content at 24/7 Sports. First time having you on the show. Hope it's not the last. Continued success. Enjoy Nashville. Enjoy 24/7 Sports. I'm really good friends with Brad Crawford over there. And just wish you nothing but the best, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks again. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
All right, Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, digital college football content creator. Very insightful, man. Really, really talented guy. All right, up next, much ado for you, much ado about nothing for me. I'll explain. This is Offsides.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.